And look in your Bibles, the book of Luke tonight, Luke chapter number 15. Remain standing if you will. Luke chapter 15, what a joy be at camp meeting. I'll say this, just start off, I realize you don't know me and I don't know you. I will say this, all I am is a bread carrier, amen. I'm going to just look at God's Word, see what He has for us tonight. You pray the Lord to touch us by His power tonight. Luke chapter number 15, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. Luke chapter number 15, beginning in verse number 1. Bible said, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, do not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that followed to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance. It went riotous living. Skip down to verse number 20. The Bible said in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for your mercy and for your grace. Oh, Father, I pray now for a little while you might strengthen my voice and my body. I pray for unction of the Holy Ghost that a man must have to preach your word. Lord, I ask you to remove anything that would hinder have the word of God tonight. And, oh Lord, help us that we'd have hearing ears and receptive hearts. Lord, save that soul nearest hell. Stir your people. Help us, oh God, tonight. But above everything, may you be magnified and glorified tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I know tonight I've read some very familiar verses to you here in Luke chapter number 15. In this chapter we find there are three things that we're told are lost. There's the lost sheep of verse 3 through 7. The lost silver, verse 8 through 10. And the lost son of verse 11 through 24. Now ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. When the Bible declares someone to be lost, it is a very serious matter. To be lost means to be separated from God. Unsaved, it means to be on that broad way of destruction for an eternal burning hell. Friend, the Bible speaks of three things that are lost. Now, hear me tonight. It's bad to be lost in a far country like one of those sheep were. It, by its nature, had wandered off and got itself far away from the shepherd. And had the shepherd not came to him, he would have
have died in the wilderness. It's bad to be lost in the wilderness. Hey, that sheep's very nature causes it to wander away out from the fold. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you and remind you tonight, you are lost. You was born lost, born with a sin nature. Nobody in the arbor tonight was born saved. You was born lost. Hey, I'll tell you, there must be a time and place in your life that you get born again. Oh, I'm glad for the wonderful day that I got birth in the family of God. Oh, by nature, we're lost. But it's also bad to be lost in a far country. That son willfully got deeper in sin and willfully got further away from the Father's house. Oh, friend, here tonight, you're not only a sinner by birth, but also by choice. There are no doubt those sitting here tonight, oh, friend, you're headed into a far country. You're chosen to get further and deeper and deeper into sin, lost without God tonight. Oh, friend, it's bad to be lost in the wilderness. It's bad to be lost in a far country. But may I say it's worse to be lost in the house. That silver was not in a wilderness. That silver was not in a far country. But it's right there in the safety of the house. Oh, friend, tonight I want to preach just a minute or two on this question. Are you lost in the house? Are you lost in the house? Now, I know you're trying to figure me out, but understand this. I believe a man will never get saved until the Holy Ghost comes and convicts him of his sin. He recognizes he's lost. He recognizes Christ is the only way of salvation. Not one of many way, but the only way. Oh, friend, I don't say tonight that no doubt in a crowd this size, there are folk here lost without God on the broad way of destruction. Oh, friend, tonight I'm asking you, not your neighbor, not your parents, not your children, but I'm asking you tonight, are you lost in the house? Oh, tonight there's five things I want you to kind of keep in mind as we're looking at verse 8 through verse 10 tonight. First of all, that silver is a type of the sinner. For that silver was lost. Now, let me say this to you tonight. It is not a matter of being unchurched. We're hearing a lot of new terms in our day. They're trying to make everything what they claim seeker friendly. I want to tell you, just good Bible words will still get the job done. Amen. When the Titanic sunk in 1912 and word reached New York and back in England, they posted two lists at the White Star Company. It said above one list, those known to be saved, and above the other, those known to be lost. You hear me tonight? There ain't but two kinds of folk here tonight, saved people and lost people. There's no middle ground. There's no confusion in it. Hey, except a man be born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. Oh, the silver's a type of the sinner, for the silver's lost and sinner. You're lost tonight. Oh, now that, but I say this, that house is a type and picture of a Christian family or the church. You may be here tonight, everybody in your family saved except you. That means that Jesus descend tonight with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which alive remain. But friend, if you're lost, you will be left behind. Amen. Hey, if everybody else is saved and you're not going to heaven on the coattail of mom and dad. You're not going to heaven on the coattail of the preacher. Hey, you as an individual, I must be born again. You may be a church member tonight. Somebody say, well, preacher, you're one of them that makes folk doubt. Oh, no. You know if you're saved or not. There ain't but one person on this arbor tonight I know 100% saved, and that's me. You know why? Because I was the one that got saved. Now, some of you got about 99% good evidence that you've been born again. Amen. Oh, but you know in your heart, have you passed from death into life, out of darkness into light? Oh, friend, you may have your name on the church roll. You may have your baptismal certificate. Oh, but friend, except you be born again, you'll never make the city whose builder and maker's God. When Jesus comes, he's not going to go by the church clerk's office and say, I need the church roll. He's got a book, and your name better be in his book, or you ain't going with us. Amen. That house, a type of a Christian family, or the church, that woman in our text is a type and picture of the Holy Ghost. For it was the woman that sought the silver, not the silver seeking the woman. Amen. Preacher never sought the Lord until the good Holy Ghost I first sought me out. Hey, I wasn't interested in getting saved. I didn't hate church, but I didn't love it either. But I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Ghost got a hold of me and showed me I was lost, that's when I began to seek him. But he first sought me. Amen. You see, that silver could never go where the woman was. But that woman sure could go where the silver was. Amen. Oh, my friend, the silver type, the sinner, house type, Christian family, the church, the woman type of the Holy Ghost, that light, that candle she lit, it's a type of the Word of God or the gospel. Aren't you glad for this blessed old book? Hey, let me help you with something. I know we're in the day all that wants a motivational speaker, all that wants a little bit feel-good stuff. I thank God for some men of God that aren't ashamed and ain't afraid to hold up that book and let the glorious gospel light shine in the pathway of sinners. Hey, I'm glad for the light when it broke in my heart. Amen. Oh, that broom or that sweeping that we find she swept the house is a type and picture, my friend, of witnessing and preaching. Aren't you glad for those that witnessed to you? Told you about Jesus. You and I could have been born in a Muslim country. Amen. We could have been born here in America, be born into a cult. Amen. But I thank God for the day. Oh, blessed be his name. I'm glad for the day that somebody told me about Jesus. Oh, they witnessed and talked to me about my soul. I'm glad they told me that Jesus Christ could save and forgive sin. Oh, I'm glad somebody told me about him. Amen. Oh, yes, I want to tell you tonight, I know I pastored for 20 years. I've been in evangelism now 4 years. Oh, and I've had folk come to me and said, preacher, would you go visit my family? You know, it's hard to witness to family. And I understand what they're saying, but my family didn't believe that. My grandparents witnessed to me. My great-grandparents witnessed to me. My mama that would witness to me. Amen. Hey, I'm glad somebody took the time and told me about Jesus. Don't you dare let anybody talk you out of doing some one-on-one soul winning, some witnessing for him. I'm telling you, you had never known a Christ. I'd never known a Christ had somebody not told us. I also thank God for preaching. I mean preaching. Amen. I'm not talking about having a $1 million smile and a kinky perm. Amen. Somebody won't preach against sin. Somebody won't preach on hell. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm glad for the old-fashioned Holy Ghost field Baptist preacher that ran back and told it straight. I told me Christ was my only hope. I told me I was a sinner. I'm bound for hell. I'm going to burn forever. I'm glad they preached me the Word of God. Oh, yes. Oh, friend, we find that silver's lost in the house. Are you lost in the house tonight? There's three things in verse 8 through 10 I'll look at in just a minute, and I'll be done. First of all, tonight, I'll look at the silver coins collectively. For verse 8 said, and either what woman having 10 pieces of silver. Now she has 10 pieces. Now, I'll look at these 10 all together just a minute first. First of all, I'll look at the fact of their visual similarities. Their visual similarities. You see tonight, they were all made of the same stuff. Amen. One wasn't made of gold. One of silver, one of stone, one of brass. Oh no, they is all made of the same stuff. You look and listen to me a minute. I don't care what nationality. I don't care what color. I don't care about your education. It doesn't matter about your family tree. We are all made of the same stuff. We are all made of the dust of the ground. Somebody said, I agree, preacher. I'm nothing but dirt. You're worse than dirt. You see, you can grow something in dirt. You can do something with dirt. But dust is the most useless part of dirt. But I got good news. The God I serve specializes in getting him a handful of dust and a breathing in him the breath of life. I'm glad, thank God, that God can do something with old dust. We're all made of the same. There ain't no big eyes and little U's. There ain't no big shots and little shots. We're just all sinners that Christ died for. Amen. They're made of the same stuff. But also they all bore the image of a man. Them preacher 29 years, been saved 34. And them 29 years when I first started, I never thought I'd ever have to preach something like I'm about to say. But you listen to me tonight. Cats and dogs don't have souls. Cows and horses, amen. Trees and flowers, they do not have a soul. Only human beings have a soul. Amen. Are you listening? Ain't it amazing a man of God even had to say such as that? But that's the day we're in. They're trying to promote all this stuff about reincarnation and everything else. I'll tell you, friend, we're made of the dust of the ground. And if we die, we're going back to the dust. Our body will, but our soul's headed somewhere. Amen. You see their visual similarity. They're made of the same stuff. And they all bore the image of man. Let me say also, as we look at these coins collectively, their value was the same. Amen. One coin is not more valuable than the other. Now, when I was a younger preacher, I used to say, now, I don't mean to bust your bubble. But I'm older now, so I mean to bust your bubble. The Lord didn't get anything when He got you. Amen. The Lord didn't get anything when He got me. We did not make the Lord better when we got in the family of God. We did as much adding to God as you would to Bill Gates handing him a dollar bill. Amen. Oh, but let me say this tonight. When you and I got saved, we got it all. Amen. We were made better. We were changed. Our lives were transformed. Oh, thank God for what salvation, the change that it made in our lives. Amen. Oh, their value's the same. Nobody's worth more than anybody else. Now we're in a movement now, I realize, that's raising religious groupies instead of followers of Christ. Say amen right there. If their favorite preacher's preaching the meeting in town, they'll flock over there. Say amen, nod your head. If it's somebody they don't know, they wouldn't walk across the street to hear them. Hey, I've got favorite preachers too, just like you. I'm going to tell you something, ain't none of us better than anybody else. We're just sinners saved by grace. Oh, God picked us up out of the midst of sin, washed us clean, wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, forever changed our life. I say hallelujah to His name. I'm glad that He changed me and He made a difference in my life. Amen. We see those silver coins collectively. Number two,
Let's look at the silver coins condition, that and it's lost. The Bible said either one woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece. What about that one that's lost tonight, preacher? Let me say, first of all, its condition, it's down in the dirt. Amen. Them houses in Bible days had dirt floors in them. That coin was not in the woman's hand. The coin was not in her purse. The coin was not in a cup or bowl on the table or the nightstand or the mantle, but it was down in the dirt. Some of you have been saved a while and you've just about forgot where God found you. You remember where you were when the sweet God of heaven came by? Oh, friend, not in condemnation, because you was condemned already, but out of love and mercy came where you were and convicted you. You was down in the dirt of sin. You were filthy and vile, wretched and ungodly. You was wicked. You was without God and without hope in this world and the world to come. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm not really that bad. Yeah, and you're going to die like that and go to hell. As long as you think there's one spark of good in you, you'll never get saved. I'm just from old school. You've got to get lost before you ever get saved. Amen. I'm old fashioned. You just have to hang with me. Amen. I'm a mountain wind sucking hacking preacher and I ain't ashamed of it. Amen. And I want to tell you tonight, the Holy Ghost, I convicted my heart. I sure saw myself vile and wretched, without any hope, without any goodness, void of goodness. Amen. Somebody said, well, preacher, so-and-so's a good person. Based on what? I can answer that one. Based on how they treated you. That's what makes them good or bad. If they treated me like I think I should be treated, they're a good fella. But if they didn't really just pat on me and brag on me and treat me the way I thought I'd be, they're wicked as a devil. Amen. But can I remind you, the Bible said there's none good, no, not one. The Bible lets us know very clearly, there's none righteous, no, not one. As a matter of fact, if you take the word good right in the column of your Bible or on a piece of paper and take G-O-D, take God out of that, all you got is a big zero. That's all you are. That's all I am. Without God in our life, hey, without Him, we are nothing but sinners, vile and dirty and wretched on the way to hell. Amen. That silver coin was down in the dirt, was getting more tarnished every day. Now, some of you out in the congregation tonight didn't hear the singing leader tonight asking, well, how many got saved before these teenagers? If you did, and I did, you ought to thank the God of heaven. The longer you're in sin, the more vile and dirty you become. It takes the same grace to save an old lost church member as it does a drunk in the gutter. I want to tell you, you get saved early, it'll keep you from bearing a lot of scars. Amen. Oh yeah, that silver coin was down in the dirt. It was also down in the darkness. That's why she had a light of candle. That's deep preaching, ain't it? She knew it's down there in the dark and it needed light. How many times have you said, as I have, in trying to witness to somebody, I just can't make them see. You're right and I'm right. We can't. But oh, when the Holy Ghost takes that blessed old book and cuts that spotlight on in their heart and reveals their loss, reveals they're without God. Oh, friend, business can pick up. You remember when you was in darkness? I remember getting saved. was 10 years old, but I realized I stepped in the light the moment I got saved. It was different. Amen. Sinner, you're in the dirt of sin. You're in the darkness of sin. We see the silver coins collectively. We see that silver coin's condition, the one that's lost. Number three, I want you to notice also in verse 8 through 10. Let's look at the silver coin and the celebration just a minute. We see first of all in verse 8 that there was a search made. The Bible said either one woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, to not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. There's a search made. I'm going to say it one more time. You didn't seek the Lord until the Lord first sought you. Before He sought you, you weren't interested in the things of God. You may have been in church, like me, and didn't hate church, but friend, you weren't interested in your soul until the Holy Ghost revealed to you that you was lost. There's a search made. Can I say first, it was a deliberate search? She didn't accidentally find that piece of silver. Now, you preachers, just go ahead and calm down just a second. I am not a Calvinist. I'm a whosoever willer. All right? But you didn't shock the Lord when you got saved. He didn't leave that church saying, wow. They may have been some Baptists left saying, wow. But the Lord didn't leave like that. He came looking for you. Amen. There's a lot of, hey, all that Bible's good. Matter of fact, Brother Joe preached Monday and Tuesday night, good for you. I've heard him say this when he starts a message, turn anywhere, it's all good. That's right, it's all good. But we'll all admit there's some verses, there's some chapters, there's some books that just kind of mean a little extra to us. One of my favorite verses is John chapter 4 and verse 4. Where it says, and he must needs go through Samaria. That means on purpose, not by accident, not by chance. Hey, but he meant to go down there through Samaria and sat down on Jacob's well, waiting for an old Samaritan woman whose life was wrecked by sin, that he might give her living water that she'd never thirst again. Let me throw this out, preachers, to you. John 3, he told a religious man, you must be born again. In John 4, he tells an old woman wrecked by sin, said, I've got you a free gift. Nicodemus didn't know what he was, but that woman did. Nicodemus was trusting his religion. That woman was ashamed of all about her sin. That's why she came at noon by herself to draw water. Wouldn't it be good they got ashamed of their sin again in America? Instead of getting on these talk shows and bragging on it. Amen now. Oh yeah. Hey, deliberately that woman began searching for that piece of silver. And by the way, all the dirt didn't keep her away. All the darkness didn't keep her away. You may be here tonight, lost and undone. I got news for you. He ain't afraid to walk through beer cans. He ain't afraid to walk through the needles and the dope. He ain't afraid to go on the wrong side of town. He'll go wherever you are and to save you and to forgive you and to birth you and his family. It was a deliberate search. It was also a diligent search. Wasn't stopping till she found it. I want to say this. I told you I got saved when I was 10. I got lost when I was 9 and a half down in Sunday school. Now that tears some preacher's theology up. But that Sunday school teacher wasn't showing us no movie and wasn't telling us no story. She had that Bible open in her hand, tears are dripping off her face. And she looked at some 9, 10-year-old children and said this, the only prayer God hears of a sinner is that of repentance. Yeah.
as far back as I can remember, preacher, I've always known who Jesus was. Amen. I've always known He died for the world. Some things the Calvinists ain't figured out yet. Amen. And you're welcome. Oh yeah, don't make me afraid you get quiet. Amen. Hey, I've always knew He rose again after 3 days and three nights of being in the heart of the earth. I've always known that Bible is the Word of God as far back as I can remember. But that morning in Sunday school, for the first time in my life, the Holy Ghost convicted me and showed me it was for me Jesus died. I was a sinner going to hell, and Jesus Christ would save me if I asked Him to. I didn't get saved that morning. Several months went by. But the Holy Ghost kept coming back. If you got saved the first time the Spirit of God dealt with you, you're the smartest person in the arbor. Rest of us a little bit slow and stubborn. I could have got saved that morning. Sure could have if I'd turned to Him. I let fear and other things keep me from turning to Christ. But somewhere around the spring of 1980, the Holy Ghost won this Tuesday evening. I'd been to school that day. Hadn't thought about God. Hadn't thought about eternity. We got home, done what we always did. Ate supper, sat around. And when it was bedtime, Mama gathered us all in the living room, pulled out that blueback Schofield Bible. And we had family altar. But I'll say this, I don't know what she read. Because she no more opened that Bible than the Holy Ghost convicted my heart. I began to tremble in my heart under deep conviction. Usually Mom would have us say some kind of prayer and put us to bed. That night she didn't do it, and she didn't even try to pick me green. Amen. She knew what was going on. Here's what she said, Brother Jimmy, before she sent me off to bed. If you need me, you know where I am. Amen. Oh, went to bed, couldn't go to sleep. Now I was raised poor. We was raised in a mill village. I had to share a bedroom with two brothers. Me and my younger brother had to share a bed. He just dropped off as soon as his head hit the pillow and went to sleep because the Holy Ghost wasn't messing with him. But he sure wasn't messing with me. I laid there under conviction, finally jumped up, went and knocked on Mama's door. Now listen, I didn't know how to ask to be saved. I didn't know that. So when Mama came, I said, Mama, I want to know, how do you know when God's talking to you? I just trying to start the conversation. I didn't know it was God. Amen. She didn't say, now tomorrow night's prayer meeting, we can talk to the preacher then. She didn't do that. She didn't even say, let me call the preacher and get him out of bed. She didn't do that. She went and grabbed that same blueback Schofield Bible, took me in the living room with that little old recliner and talked to me about my soul. And she said, you're going to have to ask Him yourself. I can't get saved for you. I can't pray for you. You're just going to have to ask Him to save you. I bowed down and I called and He saved. Amen. Oh, it is that simple. Amen. If you're the sinner, good news, He is the Savior. And if you'll call upon Him, He'll save you today. Amen. It was a search that was deliberate and diligent. But then notice there was the shout in verse 9 and 10. The saints rejoice. The Bible said, and when she had found it, that piece of that woman, she called her friends and her neighbors together saying, rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I had lost. She called them all together. I've been preaching all over the Mid-Atlantic states now 4 years as an evangelist. Before that, I was preaching revivals and pastoring. And I'll tell you, I've been everywhere. I've seen a lot of folks saved. And I've shouted over people that to this day, I don't know what their name was. Yeah, I'm not a safety match. Amen. You know what that is, don't you? Safety match can only strike on its own box. Hey, man, it's like he kept me a lot of times. Somebody gets saying, that crowd shouting, another crowd sit there like dead Indians. We're having fun now, hey, man.
Oh, yeah, now. Yes, sir. Hey, they came down, said they got saved. The preacher said, "Preach, what happened to you now?" Said, "I got saved." "What'd you do?" "I went shouting. Because I heard the Holy Ghost said, rejoice with me." Amen. I'm not the spiritual police. Amen. I'm not the spiritual FBI going to track them down, see if they're going to hang in there. That's between them and the Lord. Amen. Hey, a lot of folk thought I wouldn't make it. Amen. I'm here tonight because of the good grace of God. You're here tonight because of the grace of God. Amen. Hey, we ought to rejoice when sinners are saved. That's right. The preacher ought not have to pry an amen out of you when somebody gets saved. It ought to be spontaneous combustion. And by the way, it will be if you get under a burden. You ever had a real burden for somebody lost? You prayed and you'd fast and you'd witness to them. Oh, friend, they finally came to church. You were sitting on ready the whole service. If they just twitch, you'll say, "Get them, Holy Ghost." Amen. If a baby cried, you'll say, "Lord, hush that baby up." Amen. And about that time that preacher got done, started that invitation, and that person twitched toward the aisle, you said, "Oh, great God in heaven, maybe they'll move tonight." Amen. And about that time they made that first step, hey, you jumped out of your pew and you went with them. Amen. You was down there praying for them. Oh, and they cried and prayed to God. And when they got up, said they got saved, nobody had to tell you to shout. Hey, you're already primed and pumped, and you went to rejoicing with the Holy Ghost over a sinner that got saved. That's how it used to be, wasn't it? We've lived to see him this day in our movie. Everybody sits around and folds their arms and let's see if it lasts. Amen. Oh, yeah. The central, but hey, I like this. According to verse 10, the Savior rejoices. Because they said there's joy in the presence of the angels of God. Isaiah 6 talks about some seraphims. They're gathered around the throne. They're crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. He's in the midst." That verse says when one sinner, just one. Oh, it's good to see a crowd get saved. If I ever experienced what Simon Peter did on the day of Pentecost, the 3,000 get saved, you better call 911. I'm going to need an oxygen tent. Amen. But the Savior rejoices over one sinner that repent. Don't you hang your head, Pastor, and say, "Well, we just had one saved this year. That's at least one more that ain't going to hell." Hey, you shout it out. You give God glory. That one more sinner got birthed in the family of God. Oh, you don't have to hang your head. Amen. Oh, there's a shout ringing out in heaven. I got good news for you, sinner. The Lord's never had one sinner come to him and him say, "I wished I hadn't died for you." Never has, never will. But when they came, he said, "That's right. I died for you. I shed my blood for you. Don't matter what you've done. Don't matter where you've been. My blood can cleanse from all sin. Just come on." Amen. Hey, I'm glad Jesus saves sinners. I remind you of a verse we read in the beginning there in verse 2 of Luke 15. Said the Pharisees, scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." I've wrote amen in the column of my Bible. I'm glad he receives sinners and he eats with them. That means he wants fellowship. Now, you're saved. You don't have to go to hell. And that's a lot to shout about. I can shout that I ain't going to hell, and I will. But I want to tell you this, God saved you that you could fellowship with him. Adam and Eve's sin severed that fellowship between man and God. Sin broke that fellowship. But the blood of Christ is the bridge back to God. Amen. You'll not get to heaven just any old way.
It don't matter what the news media says. Always don't lead to heaven. You can't get to heaven by Allah and Muhammad. Amen. You can't get to heaven by Buddha. You can't get there by the Pope. You can't get there by the cults. There's just one way, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man come to Father but by me. Amen. Are you lost in the house? I'm glad on this Wednesday night, whosoever will, let him come. Holy Ghost, down your heart, I'd run to him. I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't put it off. I'd get saved tonight. I'm glad he's the Savior. Aren't you glad he loves sinners? He so loved. Amen. 29 years I've tried to preach off and on John 3:16. I've looked at it in every word in that verse, in the dictionaries, in the concordance. I mean, get every ounce I can squeeze out of it. But I've never found an adequate definition for the word so. I really ain't. Till one day I picked up Dr. Albie Green's commentary on John. Here's what Dr. Green said about that verse. He said that word so means there's not enough words in any language to describe the love of God. I said, I'll take that one. Amen. Ain't no way we're ever going to tell it all, describe it all. I'm glad that he so loved the world. Amen. You're lost, he's the Savior tonight. Father, I pray you take the message and I use it for your honor and your glory. I've tried my best to not preach what you laid on my heart. Oh, Lord, will you help us in this invitation time? We love you because you first loved us. And all you do, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I tried my best to preach what the Lord laid upon my heart for tonight.